The scripture text for the sermon you see at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, then Hebrews 5, 12 through 13, and we'll look at 2 Peter 3 and 8. We'll look at those not now, but a little bit later as we go through the sermon this morning. She was only known as Jenny. The name Jenny was an alias to protect what privacy she had, because since she was just a toddler, her entire life had been suppressed by the terror she endured alone in a single dark room of her home. Her case was one of the most cruel instances of social isolation in American history. In fact, in 1997, Walter Cronkite narrated a PBS documentary informing the public about this young girl's heartbreaking story. Jenny was born in 1957 and only 20 months old when her father, Clark Wiley, who claimed he thought she was mentally retarded, he locked her up in one of the family's bedrooms, most of the time in the bedroom closet. The room was located at the back of the house. The windows in the room were covered with aluminum foil to keep the sunlight and nosy neighbors out. And the only furnishings in that little room consisted of a cage made of chicken wire with a lid and a child's potty chair. For nearly 11 years, this young girl suffered at the hands of her sadistic father. She was locked to that chair with a homemade strapping device, locked to the potty chair with a homemade strapping device, and she was hit by a 1x3 foot board every time she made any noise at all. Under her paranoid father's vicious rule, he also kept a gun in his lap at all times as a means of intimidation of anybody in that home. It wasn't until she was 13 years old that her abuse was discovered. On November the 4th in 1970, her mother, who was nearly blind, sought public assistance in Temple City, California, after finally leaving her husband. When a social worker met with the family, Jenny's appearance and condition gave away all the sinister secrets of that home. At age 13, she was wearing diapers. She couldn't speak. She had the language and the motor skills of a little baby, and she crawled along on the floor like an animal. The social worker believed Jenny was only 6 years old and that she was autistic. She's 13, but the social worker believed she was only 6 years old. She was so malnourished and that she was autistic. But when her real age was discovered, the social worker immediately contacted her supervisor and they alerted the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Both of Jenny's parents were arrested. Her mother and father were arrested and charged with child abuse. But just before her father was scheduled to appear before the judge, he shot and killed himself. Allegedly, the suicide note he left behind read, "The world will never understand." He was buried with countless secrets about the horrors he committed in that household to that family, particularly to this young girl, Jenny. Well, her mother's criminal case was eventually dropped after evidence established that the mother had been trying to escape her abusive husband. However, the mother was not given custody of her daughter, Jenny. Jenny was sent to be cared for by a team of therapists and doctors. We all understand that a child's growth and development, physically, emotionally, socially, it can only occur when there's proper nourishment, proper interaction, involvement, learning, training, and love and affirmation in the home. This girl Jenny is a classic, horrible example of what happens to a child without the necessary requirements for growth and for development. It's a shocking story, isn't it? But what's not shocking, but it should be shocking, is the often complete lack of development and growth of Christians who are born again, but never receive the necessary requirements for their spiritual growth. I drank out of a baby bottle when I was a little baby. I'm sure most of you in this room did. Sherry and I go out to have lunch every Sunday somewhere nearby. Imagine how it would look if I took my baby bottle with me every time we went out. And I took it with me because I just hadn't quite learned the fine motor skills to pick up and set down my glass on the dinner table. And besides, that baby bottle was just so easy. And I'm just so comfortable with it. And I just hadn't advanced to solid food. I just enjoyed milk and juice in that baby bottle. Can you imagine us sitting in a restaurant with me with that bottle? Folks would assume that I simply had the mind of a child. Some think that anyway. Folks would assume that I had just never developed or had matured like those in the early church that Paul dealt with in our scripture text in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Look at the words of Paul. "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Paul couldn't communicate with these folks about spiritual things because they weren't ready for it. They couldn't receive it. They couldn't comprehend it. They were too spiritually immature, and they did not have the desire to grow. That's the sad part. They didn't have the desire to grow. Oh, they were saved. The Holy Spirit resided in them, but they were not growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. And without a desire to grow, without that desire, Christians leave the Word of God completely out of their lives. They don't read and study the Scriptures. And of course, they always have an excuse. It's because, well, they're still just drinking milk, and there's no evidence, because they're only drinking milk, there's no evidence of their spiritual maturity and growth spiritually. The author of the letter to the folks known as Hebrews had the same concern in this text here in Hebrews 5, 12 through 13. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers." Do you see that part? By now you ought to be maturing a little bit. "By this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is what? A babe." He's still a little baby, spiritually speaking. What Paul saw in the Corinthian church, what the writer of Hebrews saw, were Christians who had never matured, who were examples of spiritual babies, spiritual infancy. What Paul saw, if you read further in his letter to the church, what Paul saw was griping instead of gratefulness. What he saw was argument and divisions instead of action and moving forward. What he saw was folks following men, following the preacher, instead of the Master, our Savior, Jesus. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3 and 18 for just a moment. You see this word here, it says, "But grow..." Grow, that's the key word, isn't it? Grow. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 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 God wants us to grow. It's His will. It's His command to you and to me. He wants us to grow in closeness to one another, in closeness to our Father in heaven. He wants us to grow in understanding. He wants us to grow in trust. He wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to grow in our desire to please Him. He wants us to grow in our sense of godliness. He wants us to grow in sanctification. That's an old-fashioned word you don't hear too often in our churches today. Being set apart for the service of our Lord and Savior. He wants us to grow in all those things. So let's examine four things we need to know to grow this morning. Everybody still with me today? Number one, we must know how to feed ourselves. That scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Just as we must have proper food for growth and for health, we must, spiritually speaking, have proper spiritual food for our spiritual growth. So let me ask you today, do you desire the word of God? Do you read it daily? Do you take it in every day? You know, if I don't eat it all today, I'm going to get hungry. If I don't eat it all for the next several days, I'm going to begin to get really weak physically. If I don't eat anything for the next few weeks, I'll become sick, I'll lose all my strength, and I will lose all ability to function physically. It'll probably even affect me mentally. There's a lot of Christians who have not partaken of the Word of God for so long that they're weak spiritually. They're lacking strength. They have little ability to function in a spiritual sense. And sadly, many of these Christians who avoid the Word, they feed themselves regularly with all sorts of bad food, or what I'd call junk food from a spiritual perspective, such as immoral plots on television shows and movies, entertainment and music that has lyrics and ideals that are completely against God's principles and moralities and laws for you and for me. They take all these things in. What do they have? It's stuff that's junk food. It's immoral. It's not healthy for them spiritually. Maintaining the right spiritual diet, knowing how to feed ourselves, it takes discipline. Look at this word here in 2 Timothy 2, 5 and then 15. If anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We understand that. Verse 15, be diligent. That means get serious about it. Be diligent to present yourself to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. What's that last part? Rightly dividing the word of God. There's a diligence, there's a discipline where we take the word of God, we know we need His word, rightly dividing that word so that we are presenting ourselves as a servant to reach others for the cause of Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 119:92. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word. You see the emphasis here in this scripture? It's your word. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How in the world are we going to hide His word in our hearts if we don't read it and take it into our minds and hearts? Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. A little girl is locked in her closet for 11 years. She rarely got the right kind of food. She had the development and the ability of a little baby when she's 13 years old. You saw that image of that young girl just learning to walk, how awkward that looked. Why would we think it's any difference for you and me, spiritually speaking? Why would we think it's any different if we go for years without feeding ourselves the right kind of spiritual food, His Word, taking it into our hearts? Many, many years ago, there was a fellow that ran a restaurant, and he advertised for a boy to come work for him, to help him. One boy came and applied for the job, and the man told the young boy, he says, I'll pay you $50 a week, and I'll also pay you the meals. The boy looked at the owner of the restaurant, and he says, well, how good are the meals? And the owner of the restaurant patted his big stomach, and he said, I eat here. Well, it was a good ad for the restaurant. The boy took the job immediately because what was promised, it looked good. Are you a good ad for the work of God in you? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you a good ad for the work of God in you? Does your life show that you're feeding yourself the right kind of spiritual food and nourishment? Does your life reflect that? What we need to grow is that we have to know, first of all, how to feed ourselves, right? Secondly, we must know how to allow others to feed us. Now, this gets hard for some of us. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day appearing. What is that word saying? Don't forsake coming together, being together. The church is an important part of God-ordained growth spiritually. The coming together, attendance, is so important to our personal spiritual growth because it is at church we allow others to feed us spiritually, don't we? Fellowship encourages us. Service strengthens us. Testimonies build our faith. Praying together gives incredible inspiration. By the way, if you haven't been here on Wednesday night, all of those things are present here in this church on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, we come together. We pray for each other. We have testimonies of how God has answered prayer. We take the word of God. It all strengthens us and builds us. The scripture in Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Have you ever read that scripture? That's kind of blunt, isn't it? If you love instruction and you love knowledge, but if you hate correction, you're stupid. You don't have to raise your hand, but there's probably been almost every one of us in here in this room at one point that have thought that about our child because of something they did. Right? No hands being raised. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We've got to learn to let others feed us. And coming together in the place that God has ordained for that is the church. The third thing we've got to do is we must know how to walk. What are you talking about there? Well, first of all, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Look at that scripture in Galatians 5, 16, 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You remember the words of Paul when he's writing the church at Rome? And he said, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do, that thing I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm paraphrasing that now, but you know what he said. It's the battle of the Spirit against the flesh. We're instructed to walk in the Spirit. He said, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We also are to walk in faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're just trusting in God. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We're walking by faith. We're talking about how do we get ourselves healthy spiritually, and it's allowing others to feed us, feeding ourselves, and learning how to walk. How about walking in love? That's an important one, isn't it? Ephesians 5 and 2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He gave up everything for you and me. How much are we willing to give up for those around us that need us? How much are we willing to sacrifice ourselves and be inconvenienced to show our love to somebody that needs it, not just with us saying we love them, but showing we love them? Walk in light. Ephesians 5, 8 and 10, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I thank God for light. I thank God for a church that turns the lights on when we come to worship. I thank God for a church that's not all blackened inside. Where do we get this nonsense in our churches today? Where do we get that darkness is better as a place of worship? Christ is the light of the world. We walk in the light. I better move on. Walk worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1 and 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That only happens when you desire to walk worthy of the Lord. When you wake up every day and you quote that scripture, says, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts in my mind be acceptable to you. God, I want to please you today. I want to walk worthy of the Lord. We grow. Oh, we grow when we learn to walk in the Spirit, to walk in faith, to walk in love. We grow when we learn to walk worthy of the Lord. Finally, the fourth thing we got to do is we must know how to reproduce. John 15 and 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Fruit bearing is reproduction, isn't it? The fruit of a tree is another tree. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. When we learn to grow, when we learn to grow in our spiritual lives, we grow as a church. Not just as individuals, we grow as a congregation. As all of us individually are growing, it's impacting the church, it's impacting others, it's impacting the congregation. Knowing how to feed ourselves the right food, knowing how to allow others to feed us, knowing how to walk, knowing how to lead a maturing, growing desire to please God and to grow in Jesus. As we do that, a Christian can't help but be reproductive, can't help but impact other lives, can't help have other fruit come, other Christians. As we're growing, you'll notice this one thing. As we really start growing spiritually, something happens to us. Our priorities become different. Our desires become different. Our interests, the things that matter, becomes different. All those things change because why? Because our hearts are different as we grow closer to our Savior Jesus, as we go closer to the Lord. A pastor asked a man in his church to teach a class of 15-year-old boys, but the man declined the pastor. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry, pastor. Well, the woman's wife later came and told the pastor why her husband had turned down the opportunity to teach this class with 15-year-old boys. She said, pastor, my husband often plays golf on Sundays, and he just felt like he couldn't give up his only opportunity to relax. That's why he turned you down. Well, a few weeks went by, and the man felt the Holy Spirit just really convicting him. And he went back to the pastor, and he said, pastor, I've changed my mind. I will teach this class to 15-year-old boys. I'm going to give up my golf outings. I'm going to just give it up. I want to teach this class. 5 months later, that man walked down the church aisle with the sixth boy that he had won to Christ in that class he was teaching. In fact, this was the last unsaved boy. That sixth boy was the last unsaved boy in that class. And after church that day, the pastor came to him and asked him, has it been worthwhile, or would you like to go back to your Sunday golf outings? And tears sprang up in the man's eyes. And he said, this is the greatest time in my life. I would rather spend time telling others, these young boys, about our Savior, Jesus Christ, than anything else on this earth. I am so sorry I didn't start teaching years ago instead of wasting my time on Sundays playing golf. Our hearts must be full of the anguish for those that are lost, full of a Holy Spirit-led passion to reach the lost with the hope of Jesus Christ. In the early 1970s, a fellow named Dennis Potts was then the merchandise manager for the Southern District of California for all the 7-Eleven stores in Southern California. And he was faced with a very dire situation. Sales were down, and there was very little to suggest that sales were going to improve. In the fact that the situation was so serious for all those 7-Eleven stores in Southern California that it became obvious that something had to happen. It was sort of a, we need to do something or get out of the business. It was that bad. Well, this fellow that was the manager there for Southern California, Dennis Potts, his desperation caught the attention of one of his suppliers, Coca-Cola. In 1976, Coca-Cola sent representatives to Mr. Potts, the merchandise manager, with a new idea they said they thought could help contribute to sales and raise profits. The idea was to offer a 32-ounce drink. At that time, the biggest drink you could get when you went into 7-Eleven was a 20-ounce drink. They said you need to offer a 32-ounce drink. People said it'll never, ever work. It's the dumbest idea we've ever had, but 7-Eleven did it and branded it the Big Gulp. How many of you heard the Big Gulp? How many of you ever bought a Big Gulp? There's some hands in here. It became one of the most successful and popular items at 7-Eleven, making a huge contribution to their profits. Baby bottle Christians? Baby bottle Christians? Are you kidding? Let's be Big Gulp believers. Let's dig into that big, thick, juicy steak or that roasted chicken that represents the meat of the Word of God. And when we do that, let's follow it up with a big gulp of the Holy Spirit and let us begin to grow spiritually as God's children. Amen. Growing being more than just baby bottle Christians. It's not about just you and me as individuals. It is about this church, isn't it? It's about this church, this congregation, learning to be bold witnesses for Jesus. You know, just like that Sunday golfer, as we grow, our priorities will be for the kingdom of God. Our priorities will be for the lost souls that need to know Christ. Our priorities will be to minister hope and encouragement to other believers and disciple them to grow closer to the Lord. Our priorities will be for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us individually and in this place of worship. What a great thing that could be. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. As we begin this new year, Father, that you challenge us to grow beyond what we ever thought we could do or be in you, Father, by the work of your Word and your Holy Spirit in us. God, let there be this fire, this igniting within us, a desire to grow closer to you, to grow spiritually, to grow in the Word of God, to be a fruit bearer, to touch other lives, to make a difference in this community and around us with our witness for Christ. Let our lives be that advertisement for Jesus, that what we say and do, how we live, points to the Savior. Oh, Father, we so need your help in this matter. By the Holy Spirit, convict and lead and touch us this very moment, this morning, today, to determine that we're going to grow, we're going to listen, we're going to seek you with all of our hearts. As your children, we thank you now for the opportunities that you'll place before us, the unseen, wonderful events that can take place in our lives. Because we're choosing to serve you and to grow spiritually and to touch those around us with the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us not be ashamed of our Savior. Help us not be ashamed of the Word of God. Help us not be ashamed to share and to tell others about Jesus. Help us move beyond that uncertainty with a mighty Holy Spirit boldness to declare Jesus is the only hope for this world. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.